You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the second Sunday in Lent, February 25th, 2018, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, I've shared with you in the past that one summer when I was in seminary, I served as a chaplain at the Travis County Jail in Austin. It was frustrating and frightening and on rare occasions even funny, but it was always formative. By way of background, you should know that jail is different from prison in that inmates in a jail setting are almost always short timers. Waiting for trial or waiting to be sent on to prison following trial or serving a short sentence for some low-level offense. So one day I received a request for a visit from an inmate, and when I arrived in the interview room, I was greeted by a man in his late 30s who, uncharacteristically for the jail, appeared to be neat and clean and very middle class. He told me that he was married to his high school sweetheart, with whom he had 2 elementary school-aged daughters. He owned his own insurance business and seemed like a pretty unlikely person to be sitting in jail. When I asked him what was on his mind, he replied, "I'm leaving today." "Oh, that's great," I leaped to reply. "Going home. I know your wife and kids will be so happy to see you." Not quite. A look of intense pain crossed his face, and I could see tears begin to well up in his eyes. No, he was not going home. Quite the contrary. He was leaving that day for the maximum security prison in Huntsville, Texas, where he would begin serving a 45-year sentence for sexually molesting children. Not his own, he was quick to say, but, well, nevertheless. No, this man, whom I had been so quick to assume was more or less like me, a middle-class white guy with kids and a small business, was also a pedophile. And he knew what kind of treatment pedophiles got in prison. And the weight of his crimes, the fear of what lay ahead of him, the agony of leaving his family and his settled life behind was crushing him. And I had completely missed it. My cheery assumption that he was going home only added to the crushing burden he was carrying. I recognized that I had leaped to this assumption because of my own anxiety. My anxiety about being with inmates. My anxiety about being surrounded by so much pain. my anxiety about my powerlessness to fix all the human suffering that was locked up in the Travis County Jail. No, my cheery assumption was my attempt to escape all that suffering, to pretend that everything was okay, to run away and hide. Over the next hour, this man allowed me to actually sit with him in the midst of his shame and his guilt and his suffering. Now, I'll tell you that as the father of three children myself, I was repelled and horrified by the crimes this man had committed. Yet what this man needed from me was not my judgment. He was already getting plenty of that, and deservedly so, from the state of Texas. No, what I needed to do with this man was to shut up and listen. Just listen. Listen to another human being whose shame at the unspeakable acts he had committed, and whose despair at what was coming in the years that would lie ahead of him, had literally brought him to his knees. And as I listened, just listened, over the course of the next hour, I heard the story of a man who had himself been sexually abused by his own father, and then by a middle school coach. A man haunted by demons so dark and inscrutable that death seemed the only way out of that darkness. And in that listening, we came for a very brief moment. We became fellow travelers on a road that was surely leading to Calvary. Now, why am I telling you this story on the second Sunday in Lent? Because Jesus is speaking to Peter in a moment that is very much like the moment that we are living in right now. A time where brutality and violence seem to be all around us. And Jesus is telling Peter that in the midst of all of this brutality and violence, we are called to embrace the suffering of others, to walk alongside them, not to explain, not to comfort, not to fix, but walk alongside, trusting that God is also walking alongside in the midst of all the brokenness. And even as the road we're walking leads to Calvary, God is calling us to new life. We're called to take up our own cross by being honest about our brokenness, to be vulnerable, in other words. Now, I'm going to speak to my fellow men here. Vulnerability is not a real popular concept for us, is it, fellas? I mean, we're, after all, we're called to be strong and powerful and successful, and the list goes on and on and on. But vulnerable? Well, if I were vulnerable, I'd lose my identity. I would lose my life. I mean, that's what we say to ourselves. That's the story we tell ourselves. So no wonder Peter can't get his mind around the idea that the Messiah he's been waiting for all his life isn't here to conquer, but's here to suffer and die. So we run away from suffering, and we deny pain, and we deny the very existence of pain and suffering. But that's not what God does. In the cross, God shows us that there's no place God won't go to love us and to heal us. Now, let me be clear. Embracing the cross and looking beyond the cross to resurrection, walking alongside someone on the road to Calvary, is a whole lot more than thoughts and prayers. The God who walks with us calls us to live out that God love in action. When we meet people where they are and walk with them, we are sharing our own brokenness, our own need for healing with them, just like Jesus does with and for us. And when we find that God is completely present to us in our own brokenness, in our own vulnerability, when we find that, we then can have the courage to act. After all, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, in last Sunday's sermon, I suggested that the good news that Jesus was all about was proclaimed not so much by words, but by the example of his life. A life that courageously confronted evil. A life that worked in love for justice and healing. And I invited you to identify a situation that grieves you, a situation that feels unjust, a situation that feels like it can only be healed by love acting boldly. And this might be something in the wider world, or it might just be something between you and another human being. If you're grieved by something that's broken between you and another person, then it's up to you to act boldly, to step into that unpleasantness, to step into that pain. To step into the other person's brokenness, to be vulnerable enough, to be present to the other person and her his brokenness. To act boldly and embrace that pain and suffering. Now, if we do, it means we'll have to be vulnerable. I keep coming back to that, and it's so hard for us to think about being vulnerable. Vulnerable enough to walk alongside what might at best be unattractive and at worst pretty terrible. But that's the way of the cross. That's the Jesus way. It's the way that makes room for our own transformation. So pick up your cross. Be vulnerable. Be bold. Get ready to act. It's the way that does lead to Calvary. But my dear sisters and brothers, it also leads beyond Calvary. It leads all the way to Easter. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.